And remember all the prayer requests, and the Lord will answer each one of them, because I know the people who live in an hour that it's very dangerous times. The people are looking some kind of a war or something, and get shook up. Remember, the time of the highest prosperity, the time of everything like that, the time of Jeroboam, that's the time of the prophecy came to Amos. And that was the end of Israel. The time of their peak, right, decline and fall apart, everything fall apart. So unless the Lord keeps us, there's nothing we can do. There's no place to go. There's no place to hide, period. The world doesn't know that tomorrow. We think we know tomorrow. We have capable men. We have praised him like Mr. Greenspan. And I'm not sure what's happening. I'm not. Nobody knows. You know what I mean? Nobody knows, but I think anytime you inflate something too high, it's going to blow sooner or later. It won't go like that forever. Because men have been used to, right now, we know that Satan has taken a hold and have made the homes to have 2-3 people to work to supply, to support that home. And remember, when things fall apart in one of them, you'll see homes falling like flies around you for sale, and you wouldn't even know where to turn, you know? Because that's the direction that people are moving right now. And it's very hard for a young couple. You know, I feel sad about it. They just get married. They have to pay $1,100 and $1,500 a month payments to be able to buy a house. How do you start? You know, I think sometimes I like the old traditional way that they used to have in Spain, Italy, Greece, that they had some kind of a form of diary, you know. The family, instead of the old man dies and then gives his will to everybody, they used to make a provision for the daughters to have a home to stay when they got married. They didn't have to worry where to stay, and they weren't under that heavy burden. And you know, finances is one of the highest risk for divorce. Yeah. Do you know that? Finances. And you cannot have two heads in the house pulling apart. Somebody has to provide direction, you know. And anyhow, if you have two heads, you bump one against the other, it never works, you know. So remember them, and when you look at them and go on in life, they are pressed so much at school and so on. I try to help a young man that's a 4-0 student on engineering. He sits there in my car. He says, "Mr. Mamalis, I don't think I can make it." So I grabbed him and I shook him up. I says, "Wake up. You have a 4-point, have been every semester on the dean's list. Now you're worrying about taking 3 classes. Such a pressure, you know?" And you see the youngster and the people are in pressure at the job. They come home and they are wild beasts. You know that? They're wild beasts. They're coming home. They're looking for a victim to blow up. Sometimes, you know that? The food will bother them. Everything will bother them. I tried to study something different. And last week, we studied about faith. That we have to have faith to be able to go on with God. Without faith, no man can make it. We're saved by faith. And if I feel like it next Sunday, I'm going to speak about strong predestination, because I believe in predestination. I came from a background that didn't believe predestination, the assemblies of God. Now, they don't believe in predestination, whosoever will. Then all of a sudden I asked them, I says, "Who gives you the power to will?" I said, "You do it." I said, "You can't do nothing. The scripture says he's the one that to will and to do a good pleasure. That's all that it is." So when I was studying, try to look for a sermon or something, you know, I look at the epistles and then Old Testament. Seems to me everything was closed, and I went back of last Sunday's service. There's something struck on me there, that we were studying on Luke, the 18th chapter, and there Jesus spoke about a parable. And in this parable, there was a widow that, there was a judge there that she went to him. She says, "Please avenge my adversaries. They're bugging me up all the time. You know, I have nobody." Here I'm a widow woman. I don't have a head over me or nothing. What am I supposed to do? Would you help me? And, of course, the judge granted to her. So, not because he wanted to, but because he wanted to get rid of her. You know, that's the bottom line of the whole thing right here. And after he gave her what she wanted, the scripture teaches us in this parable that we have to be persistent in faith to believe in God. And no matter what the trials are, if we don't leave God's word alone, Satan will take our minds and will make them flow so far that our faith is deteriorated. And our faith is supposed to be in the sovereign God and nothing else. And as I was studying that, then and God shall not, he says, avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him. That's the 7th verse of the 18th chapter of Luke. Day and night, he says, unto him. He says, though, he says, he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. I said to myself, we are at the end. We're expecting to see the Lord to come. And how many have faith? And then my mind got confused. I'm just telling you what I was studying. I said, there's something there. And I want to study it. And instead of shall have faith in God, on the earth, he says, shall have the faith. Singular tense. We have many times we have faith in our loved ones. We have faith in our friends. We have faith in our church, the deacon, the pastor. We have faith in people. But that's not the faith that Jesus is speaking. He's speaking specifically about how the faith in a singular tense. When I study that, I stay with it for a while. I study, I went back and forth from the original Greek Bible and so on. The more I study, the more I start looking. I says, now if I...
Time. Darling.
Oh. Which one is the faith and what one is faith? I says, probably it will take me to be here for the next month looking for it. Because a lot of work. You know, you just don't guess, you know, and don't generate things. So the scripture makes the difference between faith and the faith. And here is the faith that Jesus asks, will I find the faith? People have many faiths, having their church, having every system you can imagine. But the faith belongs only to Jesus Christ. Everything else will fail. But the faith on him is another faith. So I started looking and I said, I better start looking a little more. The major questions, if we can have a strong self-examination and sit and try to examine ourselves by the Holy Spirit, am I in the faith, the faith? And as I will be quoting later, it says one baptism, one faith, singular tense. People have many faiths. And I start reading some material, and one of the materials says, list the different types of faith. Have faith, he says, in this, have faith in your church, have faith in your catechism, have faith in that. I look at that, I says, can this man tell that he's speaking in a plural tense, and the scripture refers to one single, have the faith? Can he see the difference, or he's blind? What's going on with him? And then it was to my surprise when I look in a concordance of the Greek Bible, Septuagint and the New Testament, and also the Hebrew, that in 1830 there was a man that had done a tremendous work he undertaken. And this tremendous work that the man had done was not only just short information. At that time, to make a concordance, you know, you play with shelves and shelves and shelves with pieces of paper, and you go through every verse, you write what you want to say, file it alphabetically, and then sort them in that section by alphabet again and go on until it's printed. And remember, 1830, we didn't have what we have today. Today you can do searches, you can do all kinds of things, but at that time there was nothing like that. And I was surprised to see, because God used these kind of people. This man was overseas, and the first work was published in New Zealand, believe it or not the States. And then the work took more forms and came up with one of the Old Testament Hebrew, one of the Septuagint, and then finally he came over with a final Greek commentary. And this is the Old Testament only commentary that work has compiled, three columns of every Greek word in the Old Testament Greek, the Septuagint, and tells you exactly in a couple of three words, key word in context type, and where it's found. You're talking about a mammoth work here. You're not talking about a toy. But to my surprise, when I start reading that in the Greek, he make a diacritical mark, and it was one of them has one, and the other one has two, and it was a big listing full of the word faith. And I said, what that one and that two means? Normally, you get the reference in the front, and you say, what one means, what two means. I went there, there was nothing there. And then I look what he was talking about. In the beginning of the word faith, he says number two, indicates the faith. Now, you never find a concordance like that in English, you know, Strong, Young, or Crudence, whatever it is. They just give you the English word and just... But there's a difference between faith and the faith. And another surprise thing that I found out there was a difference between faith, the faith, and the faith of God. So there's a different things there. And when I see what I had in my hands, I didn't realize, of course, that's a reprint. I have some of the original copies that he has made, because sometimes some changes were made and so on. Then I was so glad to see that somebody has done some work that's worthwhile. Not only the words, but makes a distinction there, because the King James doesn't say the faith. He still separates with a diacritical mark there to say, here's the faith, you know. I study that in a later day. The work, of course, was revised and reprinted and so on. But when we were talking about the faith of God and so on, that I'm going to try to speak a little bit this morning, we can see that on the widow's case, Jesus said, will I find the faith when I return? You know, we lost the faith in Christ, and we have the faith in the church. And that's not the faith, that's just faith. It's what you do. The faith is you believe in Christ, which is the Word, and you do it. You cannot claim that you believe and don't do it. And if I can, if the Lord permits next Sunday, I'd like to get into strong predestination of that group of people that God separates, as these people cannot do it. Leave them alone. But studying with that, looking at the work of Mr. Borsch, his concordance, I saw these things. In Ephesians 4:5, we read, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We have many types of baptisms. There are different groups. Baptize any way they want to, but the Scripture taught us to baptize into the name. And then the forms start getting involved there. Some people say you have to baptize them and go to the Scriptures and see at the cross, and when he died, he pitched forward. So you have to baptize them with the face down. The next group comes around. He said, wait a minute. He says, we have to baptize the people backwards, because have you buried anybody with his face down? And all these doctrines are generated. But, you know, the key of the whole thing, you can take a shower without being baptized. You can take a bath without being baptized. The key of the whole thing is you're confessing that you died to yourself and Christ came in you. And if we don't do that, we just go through a formality and it means nothing to it. So now, looking at that, we see that God now, also in the scriptures, in Romans 3:3, let's open that scripture and look at it, because we'll spend a little time on that. Romans, the third chapter and the third verse. For what if some did not believe? There were some Jewish people who didn't believe in the gospel. Paul writes here, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? That's the faith of God. So now we have three areas that we are working. Faith in general, the faith, which is one faith, one baptism, that's in Christ. And here we have the faith of God. When God speaks something, it will come to pass, no matter what happens. Because He's God, and He has faith in what He's saying, and His power never fails, that what He says is going to come to pass. We're questioning sometimes Him because, Lord, how this didn't come to pass because of time, because of this, because of that, circumstances. But if you examine, first of all, you make a stable thing, that God make a covenant with you and me. If the covenant remains there with God, as long as He said He's going to remain, and nothing is going to change it, because God is not hindered by unbelief. His word remains the same. And we're instructed in the scriptures, in the last days there will be people that says, where is He coming? Because they are so far from God, they are not looking. They are not looking for His coming anymore. They got used to go and sit in the pew and have a good entertainment and go on like that. And then the thing now, where is He coming anyway? We have been waiting for so long. But God has His own time that comes to visit. And God speaks about that, and He says, God's faith. You think you're going to make it God's faith? Of God without effect. With other words, if God make a covenant with me, with Gordon and Sister Lisa, and so on, can we say that because one of us or other ones don't believe that God's going to change there? So when you establish your faith, remember you have a solid ground that you can look upon to believe. The church and the catechisms change. I was talking to some Mormon people, I shouldn't probably name, and they were telling me about the stability, they have a prophet and so on. My dentist is a Mormon. He said to me, what kind of a faith are you anyway? I says, I'm not denominational, but I don't see the Book of Mormon as agree with the scriptures, what you're talking about. So the scriptures is infallible. That's my contract right there with God. Well, but Joseph Smith came. I said, if Joseph Smith had said everything that's in the scripture, I believe in Joseph Smith. You agree with me? But when you tell me do this and do this and do that, you know, as is proselyting, the people's mind are floating today. They know we are in trouble. They are looking for an escape for religion. Any place you turn, there's a new church coming up. What's that sign? That sign is that people are looking for somewhere an answer that's not here. And where they found it, they found it sometimes something that will entertain them, something will make them feel good, something that will make them realize that now they are ready to go because somebody told them that. But God now, when He puts a covenant, His faith is upon that covenant that's going to come to pass. And regardless of what you and I are going to do, the faith of God remains always the same. So when we have problems, or we have trials, just remember, God is stable. Regardless of how much you believe or not, He's there, He's going to be there. He said so. And if we let our minds sometimes travel and float around, day and night, we come to the place that seems we try to make the covenant of God of non-effect. But we are not. We destroy ourselves. So got to have that faith in what God says regardless. Regardless of our trials, regardless of our testings, we have something to hold into. We have something to do. And quite often the people ask, you know, I remember a man asked me one time, He says, what kind of a program you have for the young people? I says, I don't have a program. I says, we hear the gospel and have their own Sunday school class, and any opportunity, I'm supporting them. And they know I do it. Anything I can do for them, I want to do it. But if you base, you wanted to move from another state here, you're going to move here because of a young people's program, I says, well, you're going to do the wrong thing. Just don't do it. Stay where you're at and you'll be happy. You know? So God's faith now never changed. And these Jewish people, on the previous chapter of Romans, Paul tells them, you are rebels. You are failing God. You do this, you do that. On the third chapter now here, he says, for what if some did not believe? He says, some of them don't believe. Is that the evidence or the ground? Shall your unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No, because God spoke it. God said so. It's going to come to pass. Let God do the work. Let God work. And I know I believe in strong predestination. There are some people, I'm washing my hands, there's nothing you can do. Regardless of what you're going to do, there's nothing you can do for some people. They'll go on and you tell them that they're just arguing. And I don't want that. I want to leave it alone. So, God now speaks about that faith, and we see that that faith that he speaks, the Apostle Paul here, asks the question, what some were unfaithful? So we know the stability, first of all, of what God has made, and God is going to fulfill it. The problem is not for me to look somebody else what they are doing. The problem for me is to keep on looking at something stable instead of the unstable people. And look in that stability and try to conform myself to what the covenant says to be part of that covenant, because the covenant will never pass away. If I fulfill it, then I will not pass away either. People don't talk about election, predestination, and so on. Some of the good writers back there, if you examine Ephesians, he says, God have chosen us. And you know what? You study very close that chosen us. It's not a hat that has numbers there. It's my name there, and probably Lisa's name there, and probably Gordon's or Brian's name there, or anybody else. And God now decided, now I'm going to elect what I want to. Here's a roller, here's another name. And here, it doesn't work like that. Well, it goes back to Genesis. So when you talk about election, you have to find out. God called us and elect us, and the word is eklego. Logos is the word, is out by the word. It's not because of you, because of the word in you that will never pass away. You are predestinated. It's not because you are nice looking or you are not. It's because God called you and called you out by the word. The word is stable. God's faith will never stop. God's faithful to his word. You become one with the word and you can never fail because God takes you to eternity with it. And that's period. So never forget to have something stable to stand here. The second part is that covenant, he came down and sealed it with his own blood by redemption to save you and me and fill us with the Spirit. He comes down, performs that covenant, fulfills that covenant, and we're standing here scratching our heads. Well, might have been for another age. Not for another age. It's for you and me now. The same Christ, the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. This is it. So if we look in our faith and we say, now my faith believes this and that, fine, I'm talking about, are you in the faith? In the faith separates you from faith. And you don't live to yourself anymore, but the Holy Spirit comes in you and confirms, and you say, now what the Word says, that's what I believe, not because I make myself believe, but the Spirit make me believe what He said. That's it. I can sit here and say, I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe. Help me, I'm going to believe and believe. You know, there's a process that Paul is speaking about, dying to yourself so Christ can live in you. And when death to self comes, it's not you that believe, it's God's word that you believe. Because he gave you that faith. The faith in a singular tense, to believe in the word, to believe in Christ, regardless of what's going on. And in order that covenant to be fulfilled, the obstacles between you and the faith have to disappear. Sometimes we pray, and God wants us to pray, to ask things, to be persistent. We pray for selfish reasons. Lord, give me this, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me a Cadillac, give me a bigger home, give me this, give me that. But just wait a minute. Let's examine. Does God want you to have that? Don't mingle it with pure faith. Pure faith will come in and say, Lord, you're stable. The faith of God never fails. Now, I believe in that, and I know you can do all things. The question is, what do you have for me? Am I right? You look at the scriptures. I think Margaret Thatcher one time picked up a taxi cab in London one time, and a man was cussing Margaret Thatcher. What's the problem? She says, we want her to give more to the poor. She says, always will be poor. Margaret Thatcher had a point. Through the scripture, the Bible teaches help the poor. Am I right? You know, who is supposed to help the poor, do things. But who cannot say everybody will have the same bank account, the same this, the same that, because we're in a different environments. Some people pay a medical doctor, pay a price to be where he's at. Am I right? The man he's reaping later makes more money. I was told one time, what doctor is good? And the old man said to me, look, young man, he says, a good doctor is not expensive. A bad doctor will give you a run around and you pay 10 times more. So God now, his covenant stays there. So what happened? Progressively I die daily. What happened? I'm not just the faith that I don't have. I'm going to the faith that I have to get closer to God, so the faith of God and the faith can mingle together to fulfill what the covenant of God has to say. On the other side, you people just have faith and do this and do that and do that. I know there are gifts of faith and so on. I'm aware of that. But you know something? We cannot mix faith with anything without hybriding, and it will never produce itself. It has to be pure to God. In a way that you say, God, you're all in all. You're my God. I trust you unconditionally. You said your faith will never fail. I want to believe in the faith that will never fail, because that the faith is upon Jesus Christ. And you know, you save a lot of trouble to many people. They got faith in the church, and then the church falls apart, and then they don't know what to do. Correct? But if you have the faith, and that's in God's faith, then you will never fail. Why? This remains the same. That's stable. And you have based your faith in the faith. What is it? It's stable upon stable. Because God gives you His Spirit to believe there. People sometimes, they go to a place and say, this is heaven for me. This is the best church in town. Okay? This is the ones to disappear very soon. I got news for you. Because they make too quick a decision, too emotional, and they don't realize we're all human beings and we have problems. Am I right? We don't look in myself. I don't look in the system. I'm looking in the unstable promises of God, the Word of God, and I want to have the faith, one faith. I want to have that faith upon that. And then I have brothers and sisters that help me to grow in the Lord and pray for me, and I pray for them and go on like that. Oh, Brother Dave, I have the faith. Forget it. You don't have it. Quit bragging. Anytime you brag, you don't have it. Pride leads to destruction regardless of who you are. When I was able to study that, I started looking through. I make a folder now. I said, well, that's not the beginning, because I have to go to Timothy and other places where the Apostle Paul speaks about the faith. And in 2 Timothy 2:13, we read that, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. My condition is this. When I look at the faith of God upon what he promised me. He says, I said this, I'm going to fulfill it. And I look at myself, and I make mistakes, and I say, now, probably that wasn't for me. Listen to what he tells me. If we believe not, there's only one sin, the unbelief. The rest of its attributes of sin, you know that. Yet he abideth faithful. He stays there. Doesn't change. This is the faith of God stays all the time there, period. If God promised to you, he'll save you by the blood, he has to stay like that, save you with the blood. If you change it later, he's not God. You follow me? God's stable, stays like that. Somebody else says, okay, you get saved by putting your name on the book. That's not it. My faith is the faith of God. And what do? With that simple faith, I change my general view of faith, and I come to narrow it down. And I says, I want to put first things first. We have our prayer request first, and we don't have God first. You hear what I'm saying? We have our prayer requests. Lord, do this, and do this, and do that, and do that, and we're not in the faith yet. God wants us to put in the faith to be able to do that. So the three things. Faith in general. The faith, which specifically doesn't mingle with anything. And the faith of God that remains always the same. If you and I were unfaithful, you come to church and you had an argument on the way home or to the church. You got up in the morning, had an argument at home. Say, Lord, forgive me. What's the basis that God forgives you? Because God now is faithful. That's his faith. And he say this. If we believe not, if you want to write down 2 Timothy 2:13, he abideth faithfully. He's there, abideth. Stays there faithfully. And that faithful position that he can never change, he said this, he cannot deny himself. With other words, if he doesn't abide, if he is not the faith of God, and if he is wavering, then he's not God, period. So we have somebody to put our hands there and says, I believe in God. Regardless of what the world is going to do, regardless of what Susie is going to do, regardless of what John is going to do, my faith is in Jesus Christ. This is a beautiful thing to know, that you can fellowship with believers. And when you fellowship with the people, you know that you have one faith, that's the faith. And you go on with the faith. And you have something stable. That's fellowship, friends. Fellowship is not coffee shop, having breakfast, have good eggs. Fellowship is on the basis of the Word of God. That's what it is. You can have as many breakfasts as you want to, nothing wrong with that. But what I'm talking about spiritually, we better be moving to the faith and start isolating ourselves from everything that would destroy the faith. We have the faith of God, and says, put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You put God first. What does it mean, Brother Dave, to put God first right there? I'll tell you what it means. The faith of God is unstable. I believe in that faith. I make mistakes, but I'm not going to stay and grab everything else. My problem is to have the faith of God unconditionally right there and keep on moving. Heavens and earth will pass away. His word remains the same. When you go home, read also 1 Corinthians 10:13. We see the stability of God, which is pledged that he is faithful. His promises and so forth is the assurance of the believer. Because that's what sometimes we do. We think, I have faith, I believe in God. You know what? I'm just as good as you are. You don't go by comparison. You don't have it. You're fake. You know what I mean? Each one of us, if we knew how God looks at us, we'll bow our heads and we'll say, I'm the worst of all. Do you know that? Not the best of all. When Satan gets a hold of you, you keep on doing these things. But pure faith, the faith, is when you move toward God and you say, Lord, please, I know that you're stable. I know that you're faithful. I know you cannot deny yourself, Lord. You promised it. Lord, fulfill your word in my life. He knows the sparrows. He knows everything, right? We wrote songs. He sighs on the sparrow and he watches over you. All these songs have meanings. But look at the sparrow says, what about you? Yesterday afternoon, the evening, we have a bunch of doves coming over. I just, not to favor with the doves, but they have a number of other small birds coming from all over. And I went over and threw them some wild bird seed. They were up in the tree waiting for me. And I said, look at them. God promised them they don't have to worry. And I'm sitting here feeding these birds. Can you imagine? I said, what am I doing? And as soon as I left and I went to the house, I looked from the window, there were about 50 of them there eating. So I said, well, thank you, sir. You know, we got a covenant too. God keeps his eye on the sparrow. And he watches me and you. Correct? How beautiful it is to know that we have something stable. Church denominations, church systems, people, they won't know which direction to go today. They won't. They're so confused. Men and women, they don't know where they belong. You know that? They don't know. They're just floating. You know? The young people, years ago I read an article. Listen to this, young people. I read an article. It was written by a Frenchman in Paris. I read that article, and he says, before destruction or slavery or anything like that happens, he says, the people don't wear clothes that fit them. It's type of baggy pants that the guys wear now, you know, flapping around. Because they used to have one cleaning place, dump everything there, and wash them. Everybody gets an oversized. Just try to be small or big, or you got one size that you're going to. He says that's, and he was man was going through the different points of history, how the people were dressed. He says, in the beginning they had gowns and they did this and that. And today he looks at this and he says, that's why, he says, the new generation tells you something from the clothes that they wear sometimes. What's going to happen? You know? What I say, we need more to have trust in the faith of God, and we need to have the faith instead of general faith. And I believe in general faith 100%. But I'm talking about something that you and Christ, between you and the faith of God, are married together so close that nothing separates it. You got a covenant that's going to stay with you. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus, He's able, He's able. I know my Lord is able. I'd like to ask Brother Gordon to close us in a word of prayer. Amen. He's able. He's able. He's able, I know my Lord is able,
I know my Lord is able,
to give. carry me through. He's able, I know my Lord is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for you giving us your word. Your word said that faith comes by hearing. Yes, Lord. Hearing the word.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord, not only to hear, Lord, but to believe and receive it.
Yes,
Lord. And act upon it, Lord, not to waver in our faith, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the faith that was once delivered into the saints, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, we believe, Lord, that we received it, Lord.
Yes,
we pray,
Lord.
Pray, Lord, that you just help us, Lord, to walk, Lord, according to your word, according, Lord, to your will, Lord, that you continue to work within us to do your good pleasure, Lord. Lord, that we would uplift each one, Lord, each brother and sister in Christ Jesus, each request, each home, O God.
Yes,
Lord, lift it up before you in prayer and faith believe. We thank you, Lord Jesus, this day. Thank you for keeping us, O God.
Hallelujah.
Pray, Lord, that you continue to direct us by your Holy Ghost, Lord.
Yes.
Pray, Lord, for those that are standing among us, Lord, that don't know you, Lord, as their Savior, Lord.
Yes,
and
are
baptized with your Holy Ghost, Lord.
Yes,
pray,
Lord.
For them. Lifting them up before. Pray, Lord, you just move upon their hearts this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for keeping us. Thank you for blessing us, though we know we're not worthy.
Yes, Lord.
Plead the blood this morning, Lord, and just ask forgiveness, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we live in the filthiest age of all of earth. Lord, just keep us as our prayer. Strengthen us, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.